Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Everyday Black History. How is everyone out there? I hope you all are doing very well. Welcome to the start of another week. I know it's Monday. Happy Monday to you all out there. Hopefully you had a great weekend. Hopefully it was a restful weekend, or maybe it was a party weekend and you had a good time with your friends. Whatever it was, I hope you had a great weekend. I hope you have a start to a great week, and hope this week is a great week for you. But now, I know it's been a while since we've done an episode, and the last episode we did, we talked about two people who were involved in tech, and we said that our next couple of episodes was going to be highlighting Black Americans, or not Black Americans, just Black men and women in tech, not just, you know, across the whole diaspora, because our last episode we highlighted a couple of people, Lisa and Idris, who are making vast strides, who have made vast strides in the world of tech. And we talk a lot about having more Black men and women in tech and how Silicon Valley isn't kind to people of color and women, and you know, there's a lot of Black tech entrepreneurs out there with great ideas, but it's hard for them to get funding. And so there's this massive call to get more Black men and women, especially women, in the world of tech. So we just wanted to highlight Black men and women who have always been in tech since the early days of tech, and they might have been forgotten about their contributions that they you know, put forth in different areas and computers and technology. So we just wanted to highlight some of these people. And so we're going to continue that in today's episode. So today we're going to highlight two people. The first one who we're going to start off with is a brother by the name of Roy Clay Sr. And Roy Clay Sr. Is a computer scientist and an inventor. He was a founding member of the computer division at Hewlett Packard, HP. Many people have had or seen or used an HP computer or laptop throughout their lifetime. And he was one of the founding members of the computer division. They call him the, he's also known affectionately as the Black Godfather, the Godfather of Black Silicon Valley, excuse me, because of his contributions and him being such a early pioneer in Silicon Valley for Black, you know, people in tech. But he also started his own company as well later on, Rod L Electronics, and he has been involved with the development of electrical safety equipment. So a little bit of background information on him. He was born in Missouri, and he was born in a town called Kenlock, and at the time Kenlock was the oldest African-American community that was incorporated in the state of Missouri. His summer holidays were spent working as a gardener in Ferguson, Missouri. But unfortunately, due to racism, he was quote-unquote encouraged by the local police to leave the town, which was majority white. He was born in 1929, so you can imagine the racism that he faced, which is common to any, you know, Black man or woman in this country during this time. But despite the fact that he experienced harsh racism throughout his childhood, he was always told by his mother that you will face racism for the rest of your life, but don't ever let that be the reason why you don't succeed. And that's good words to hear, especially from your mom, from your parents, someone who you love and someone who you respect, because you'll keep that mantra in your mind all the time, and you won't allow anything to prevent you from succeeding in life, especially for men and women during that time who no matter how smart or how, you know, what resources you might have had, your lack of success could be strictly because of the fact that you're Black or you're a person of color. So, you know, the fact that his mom told him this and that he lived by that, you know, that no doubt helped him to continue to succeed even when he got discouraged from the challenges that he faced. He attended a segregated school, and he was awarded a scholarship to study mathematics at SLU, St. Louis University. Now he wanted to become a baseball player while he played while he went to St. Louis University. Sports is a natural gift to many of us. I mean, that's something that we don't have to be ashamed of. So he wanted to play baseball. He probably wanted to join the Negro Leagues or maybe even the major leagues at that time. But he was the first African American to graduate from SLU with a bachelor's degree in 1951, and he struggled to find work in technology. As a matter of fact, after an interview at an aircraft corporation called McDonnell Aircraft Corporation, after an interview at McDonnell Aircraft Corporation, he was taken aside and he was told straight to his face, "Mr. Clay, I'm very sorry, but we don't hire professional Negroes." So this is another example of how he went to school, was the first, Black American to graduate from his school in mathematics. Clearly had the brains to do the job, but because he was black, he didn't get the job. So he started work as a school teacher because of the lack of success that he had in technology in the beginning. But he also taught himself to code. And by 1958, he was a programmer at the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory. And his early work there involved creating a radiation tracking system to study the aftermath of a nuclear explosion. Explosion, excuse me. While he worked there at Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory, he met David Packard, and David Packard is the Packard and Hewlett and Packard, and he encouraged him to apply for a job. And in the midst of all this, he also worked at other corporations. He after he left for Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory, he worked at Control Data Corporation, and a couple of other companies before he actually took his job at HP. And that was in 1962 when he moved to Palo Alto, California, and he joined Hewlett Packard, where he helped to launch and lead the computer science division in 1965. He was also the director of the team that developed the HP 2116A, which was one of their first mini computers. And he stayed at HP for years. He was there until the mid-70s, where he, as mentioned, he ran the computer science division, and he was one of the highest ranking members of the of staff for Hewlett Packard when he worked there. While he worked there, he developed several initiatives to improve the representations of African Americans in Silicon Valley, which is why he's recognized as the godfather of Black Silicon Valley. It's just an affectionate name for him being one of the first there to make contributions that were noticeable, but they couldn't deny it, they couldn't deny it from him. But he recognized the need to test electrical products for safety, and so he left HP and started his own business. He was the founding director of Rod L Electronics, which was based in Menlo Park, California. And the company is recognized not only for its technical innovation, but also for its community work. He invented the dielectric withstand test, or the high potential safety test, which is one of the inventions he's known for. He was elected by the African American Museum and Library at Oakland in 2002 as one of the most important African Americans working in tech. And the San Mateo County awarded his company the Dad's Count Family Reminder. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. Let me say this right. Dad's Count Family Friendly Employer Award. And Clay was inducted into the Silicon Valley Hall of Fame in 2003. So he's won awards and recognition for his work in, tech in Silicon Valley. As you mentioned, there's a lot of work that needs to be done as far as representation in Silicon Valley, because there's a lot of people of color who have great ideas who aren't getting the proper amount of funding to put these ideas to the masses. Any black man or woman can be the next one to start the next Uber or Facebook or Netflix or whatever, if given the chance and the funding. So, Roy, was involved in local politics. He was the first African American to join the city council in Palo Alto. He was also elected vice mayor in the 1970s, out there in California. So he was, not only did he make strides in tech for, black men and women, but he also did what he could to pay it forward, to get more of us in there. Like as you mentioned, a lot of work needs to be done, but you need at least one man or woman to take that first step. And hopefully those barriers can be broken down in a much larger scale, and soon to come. So Roy Clay Sr., we thank you for your contribution to Black history, to Black culture, and what you contributed in the world of tech for Black men and women, and we salute you. Now, the next person we're going to highlight today is a brother by the name of Emmett McHenry. Now, Emmett McHenry grew up in Tulsa. There's a lot of information on him, so you can definitely look these people up and get into more detail about their work. But Emmett McHenry, excuse me, grew up in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He attended Booker T. Washington High School, received his Bachelor's of Science in Communications from the University of Denver in 1966. Born in Arkansas in 1943, excuse me. And he's an entrepreneur. He developed one of the first companies that helped push the internet forward, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But he received his Bachelor's of Communications from the University of Denver in 1966. He also served in the Marines, where he attained the rank, excuse me, of lieutenant. And then he also earned his master's degree in communications from Northwestern University in the late 70s. He also worked as an IBM systems engineer in between, when he got his master's and when he came out of the Marines. But he started as an IBM systems engineer, as well as serving as a dean and instructor at Northwestern University. Now, one of the things that he's known for as far as tech is that he along with three other men, co-founded Network Solutions. And Network Solutions is one of the is the first company that operated the domain name system. Anybody who's ever started a website, you gotta get a domain name, and .com, .net, .org. There's all types of different services now that help you to get those, like GoDaddy and a bunch of other companies. But in the early years of the internet, there was only one company that took care of that, and that was Network Solutions. It was a started out as a technology consulting company that was incorporated by Emmett McHenry and three other men, Ty Grigsby, Gary Deschler, and Ed Peters, in Washington, D.C. in 1979. And as mentioned, in the first few years, the company focused on systems programming services, primarily in the IBM environment. IBM was the main computer source back then. They did very well, with the company. $1 million revenues in 1982, surpassing $18.5 million in revenue by 1986. But they first operated the domain name system through a contract that they got from the U.S. Defense Information Systems Agency in 1991. So they were the company that gave out the .coms, the .orgs, the .govs, .edu, .net that we see so popular today. Now, of course, this is before the internet, became what it is now. So like back in the day, businesses, universities, hospitals, they were large corporations. They were the ones that used the internet. Government agencies, they were the ones that used the internet. So, Network Solutions was the domain name provided that these institutions would go to. After the internet became more commercially available to everyone, different systems were set up so that domain names can be given to anyone. Emmett McHenry's involvement in Network Solutions ended in 1995 when they sold the company to Science Applications International Corporation. And at the time, it managed over 60,000 domain names. But as you mentioned, this is before the internet, became what it became to the average consumer now. But him, as well as the other men who helped start Network Solutions in 1979, Emmett, as well as those three other guys, you can say that they helped to usher in the internet as we know it. Of course, there's a lot of other factors that are put into that, but this company that they started and the work that they did is what contributed to the internet becoming available to us, to the masses, where we can use it for everything that we use it for today. So, black men and women in tech, we don't get our just due for even the smallest contributions that we might have put forth to, make a life, beat the way we know it. You know what I mean? It's kind of one of those things where you may not even notice it yourself unless you can look in some alternate universe without this person's contributions, and then you can see the results of that. You know what I mean? So it's like someone might say, "Oh, well, Emmett didn't have anything to do with the internet's, becoming so popular today, or none of these men did. It was going to happen. This could happen. That could happen." One could say that, but if you were to actually take this person's accomplishments away, historically took it away, then who's to say that the work that he did, that they did, didn't contribute to the internet's me? I know I'm kind of babbling, but some people are always so quick to take away from black men and women's accomplishments when it comes to things that we take for granted daily. And the work that we do, the work that we've done throughout history has contributed so much to make our lives easy the way we see it, the way we live it. And we just don't get the credit for it. And it would be nice for these men and these women who have sacrificed time and energy and focus. It'd be nice for them to get their recognition, So Emmett McHenry, Roy Clay Sr., everybody who we cover on Everyday Black History, we just want them to get their just due. Even if a small amount of people listen to this podcast and listen to what we're talking about, as a small amount of people that can spread, this to other people and tell them, "Hey, did you know that, a black man contributed to, the internet, being the way we know it?" Contribute. I'm not saying did it, but contributed. Or a black woman, is one of the main people behind gifts that we take advantage of. People will look at you and think you're crazy because they, don't even think about it like that. But it's like you do the research and you'll see, yeah, we contributed to that majorly. A lot of times we invented things that many people just will never know. So Emmett McHenry, Roy Clay Sr., we thank you for your contribution to black history and black culture. I know I started babbling a little bit at the end, but it is just one of those things where more people need to know about our accomplishments and about what we've done and what we do, our creations and contributions is so vast, man. We can go on for hours. But anyway, that concludes this episode of Everyday Black History. We'll be coming at you with more history. We'll be talking about more black men and women in business and tech and science and mathematics. We're going to just cover all these accomplishments, past, present, and what could be the future, of black history and black culture. We're just going to continue to do it because it's important. So you all enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll be coming at you with more black history. So stay tuned for the next episode.